Today we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Challah with lesson number 7. Perek Beis, Mishnayos Gimel and Dalet, the second perek of Challah, the third and fourth Mishnayos. Ho'isho yosheves v'koitzo chaloso arumo. The halacha is that when a person, man or woman, is mafrish chala, sets aside chala from the dough, he or she recites a brocha. Shekichonov mitzvoisov. When one recites that brocha, one has to be sure that one's erva, that is, simply speaking, one's genital area, is not exposed, or else it's not proper to recite a brocha. So a woman who is sitting on the ground and is koitzo chaloso and is cutting pieces of the dough and is being mafrish chalo, she can do so even aruma, even if she is naked, and she can recite the brocha. Mipnei shehi yecholo lechasis atzmo. Because of the anatomical structure of the woman, when she is sitting, her genitals are covered. She can cover them in her posture, with her feet. Avoloi ho'ish, but a man cannot do so. So therefore, a man cannot be mafrish chala when he is naked, because his genitals are exposed, even if he is sitting. And in such a posture, it is not proper to recite the brocha on the mitzvah of hafroshas chala. The Mishnah continues. Mi she'eino yochol la'asos isoso b'tahara. Suppose a person is himself or herself tome, and in that situation cannot prepare the dough in a way that the dough will remain tohor, will remain pure and free from any tumah. So therefore there's a machlokas. Tanakama holds ya'aseno kabin. The person should knead, K-N-E-A-D, the dough in small amounts of a kav each. And remember, the shear of challah is a kav, a full kav, plus a rova hakav kemach. So if you do it in smaller amounts of a kav each, the quantity is not obligated in challah. And as such, he has not produced challah, which is tomei. What is tomei is the dough, but the dough has not reached the quantity of challah. That, according to the Tanakhama, is preferable, v'alya aseno betumo, to the option which is to prepare the whole kav v'rova hakav, the full quantity of flour to constitute a chiyuv chalo, and it would become tome. Better to do it in small bits, so you're not fulfilling any mitzvah of chalo, rather than to do it in tumah and produce produce chalo, which is tome. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says better to take a full quantity, to be obligated in chalo, to be mafrish chala, recite the brocha, the chala is tomei. No, the chala is tomei. You still have done the mitzvah of hafroshas chala. So argues Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva ome ya'aseno bitumo. Better to do it, to take the full quantity of kav rova hakav kemach. And if it's tomei, so it's tomei. For al ya'aseno kabin, rather than to avoid the obligation of chala, by making it in smaller quantities and not be obligated in challah at all. Because shekishem shehu kore la tahora, kachu kore la tameya. Lozo kore challah bashem, lozo kore challah bashem. What difference does it make? Whether it's tomei, whether it's tor, he's done the mitzvah. He has brought challah into the world. He has pronounced the shem shamayim on the mitzvah of challah. So it's tomei, and therefore it has to be burnt, it has to be destroyed. But meanwhile, in the process, he has fulfilled the mitzvah, and he has been korei shem. Avol kabin, ein lohem chelek bashem. If he makes it in smaller around, he hasn't done the mitzvah of challah, There's no involvement at all of Shem Shemayim. Nothing's happened here but a very mundane baking. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva prefers to do it bituma and to be kore shem, to do the mitzvah, and then to take the challah and burn it, because challah tameya must be destroyed by srefa, by burning. This is a machlokas. The halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, only one against one, Rabbi Akiva against one opponent. But here, the Stam Mishnah, before Rabbi Akiva, the Tanakama is the Rabbim, the Chachomim, and they prevail over Rabbi Akiva. Better avoid the Tumah by making smaller amounts, Kabim, rather than doing it Bitumah. Mishnah Dalet continues, Ho'osei isoso kabim. Suppose a person has made dough in small quantities, not up to the shiur of chiyuv challah. But afterwards, after he's made the dough separately, v'nogu zeh bo zeh, the bits of dough, the small amounts of dough, minus, less than the shiur of kav rova hakav, now touch each other. And you have two or even more coming together. When they're coming together and touching each other, they do reach the quantity of kav rova hakav. So, peturim in hachala. That's the fact they touch each other. Since the gilgul ha'isa, since they were kneaded separately, and they are separate entities, none of which on its own is obligated in chala, so you're exempt from chala. Ad sheyishochu. Unless they are so close that they, quote, bite each other, end quote, meaning that they are so close to each other that when you pull them apart, you pull piece A apart from piece B, a little bit of piece B will cling to piece A. It's as if piece A and B have bitten each other. So if they're that close together that they're biting each other, that by separating them, there's no way to separate them as two distinct units, but some of unit number two will be attached to unit number one as you pull them apart, then you are obligated in challah. That type of negiyah does combine them into the shear of challah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says more so. Avhorode, even a person who has separate doughs, and he's baked them separately, and each of the doughs in and of itself is not the shiur of challah, it's not kav rova hakav. And after he's baked them, he takes them out of the oven. That's the process of rode. He removes them from the oven. And they're still separate little loaves. V'nosein lasal, and he puts these separate, already baked loaves into one common basket, hasal mitzorfon lechala. The fact that they are in one basket combines them, and if in the basket, the one or two or several little chalalech, several little rolls, several little loaves combine to the shir of kav rova hakav, then you are obligated in chala. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is based upon the halacha that indeed the time when one is obligated in challah is bishas gilgul ha'isa, is the time that he's actually rolling the dough. But if someone is rolling the dough and is not mafrish challah, and then takes the dough and bakes it, then he has to be mafrish challah even from the finished product, the baked bread. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer reasons, so every kikor is potentially obligated in challah, even after it's baked. And when you take all these separate kikros and put them into a sal, into one basket, the basket combines them, and now you're obligated in the mitzvah of challah. This is the halacha. The halacha is, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the sal, the basket or container into which the loaves of bread are placed, combines them as one entity, and if that total entity is larger than a kav verova hakav, the total entity is obligated in the mitzvah of challah, and one has to take one of the loaves or part of it and be mafrish it as challah for the kohen. And so we have finished lesson number 7.